how you ought to walk and to please God. I want to talk to you about you ought to please God. For 2011, why not please God? For 2011, why not make it your most important task, the most important thing you do? I just want to please God. We all know how to please ourselves. We know how to strive for that. That's pretty much what we do most of the time. Most of the time, that's how we think. You know, well, I just want to please me. I want. That's our society. That's the way it is in most of our thinking. How about if we just decide, 2011, I'm going to do everything I can to please God. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching tonight, that you'll speak to our hearts and give us what we need. Help us, Lord, to please you in every aspect of our lives. Lord, I pray that we would strive to find ways to please you, to forget about ourselves, forget about the things that we want and desire, and Lord, to certainly not quit praying, but to strive to find what would please you. And I pray you'll show us some things tonight. You'll speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, we know that doing right is the right thing to do as a Christian. We're supposed to do right. We're supposed to obey God. We know that. We know that's automatic. That is what it's supposed to be. Somebody says, Pastor, what should I do? And I say, just do right. And always, we need to do right. And I know that pleases God. I understand that, and that's true. But what about finding out other things that please God? Why not look for areas that hey, I think I can really please God if I do this? I was thinking about in reference to my wife, for example, and how you know, I give her my paycheck and that's just, it's automatic. We pay all the bills. She has a roof over her head. She has clothes. She has a car to drive and gasoline in the car. And that's just kind of automatic. There's not a whole lot of romance in that. I mean, it's not, hey, baby, I paid the bills. I mean, it's not, it's kind of, she expects that. I mean, that's how it automatically is. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't please her, but I'm just saying that doesn't thrill her like other things might. She likes surprises, and I'm always looking at ways to surprise. She doesn't like to be surprised, like hiding behind something and jumping out at her or anything like that. That never works out well. But she likes surprises. I'm always looking for things that she likes. I like to write poems, and when I write her a poem, she likes that. The time that her ring miraculously and mysteriously grew. That was pleasing to her. I spent a lot of time on that and wrote a little poem and everything. The other day, we were visiting Karen Koch and prayed with her before her surgery there in Cleveland, Ohio. And just out of the blue, my wife has a little flyer in her hand, and she said, honey, she said, they have a zoo in Cleveland. And I'm thinking, oh, well, that's great. It's winter. Zoos are all closed in the winter. She said, and this zoo has koala bears. And I said, wow, boy, I said, too bad it's not open. We'd go there. She said, it is open. 15 degrees, folks. It's 15 degrees. And we're at the Cleveland, I mean, there we are. We're at the Cleveland Zoo, and we're walking, freezing, absolutely, not dressed, you know, dressed reverently. Amen? And not dressed for zooing. And there we are, and I mean, people, there were people, others there, and I'm thinking, these people are nuts, and they're looking at me like, you're nuts. And sure enough, you know, we go and we look at the koalas sleeping. It's about all they did. But see, that pleased her. And I mean, she was just, she loved that. I mean, she's freezing. We're both, you know, and here's the koala. And we're freezing, but I mean, she likes all that. She likes cheap flowers. You know, it's got to be practical. Now, if I go to Barrett's and I pay a lot for the flowers, that's okay. But it really pleases her when I get them off of a grape. No, when I go to Country Market and cut them myself and put them in a vase and do all that. You know, and because she always says, where'd you get the flowers? You know, and oh, Country Market. She just, oh, honey, you're so wonderful. But you know, I try to find ways to please her. I look for ways to please her. By the way, you used to, your wife. Is that a confession? But, you know, remember when you were dating her and you're trying to win her over? You ought to keep trying to win her over. Because, buddy, you are starting to look like I do. But anyway, the point is, you know, why wouldn't we want God to love us. Do you know God wants you to love Him? I mean, we love it. You know, for God so loved the world. God loves me. That's so wonderful. He loves me. God sent His Son to die for me, and He loves me. But why don't we want to love Him and really look for ways to please Him? Sometimes when I spend lots of time trying to do something for my wife, I planned and planned and planned. Last year when I took her to Hawaii, and then I brought a little part of Hawaii back by getting a hot tub in our little room there so she could be in that and help her back and everything. It took hours and hours and planning and plotting, and it was a total surprise to her. And the whole thing was a surprise. She had absolutely no clue. But sometimes when I'm doing all that and I'm plotting and planning and everything, I sometimes stop and I say, Lord, do I give you that kind of attention? Am I trying hard enough to please you, God? I mean, my wife is wonderful and I love my wife, but God, I love you, and God, I want to spend time. I want to think of ways that I can please you. You know, the most miserable person in the world, I think, is the one that's trying to please himself. And the one that wants everything for himself, because you're never going to be satisfied. It's not possible. I mean, the person that says, well, what about my rights? What about what's mine? And the person that's after fame, and the person that's after pleasure, and the person that is after all these different things. And by the way, when all of that fails, that person's very, very miserable. Why don't we decide for 2011? I want to just please God. And I want to find things that please Him. I want to look for things that please Him. It is very interesting how we learn what pleases other people. My wife, for example, her Sunday school class, she has a list of things for the girls to fill out. What's your favorite pop? What's your favorite candy bar? What's your favorite? These are things that please them. And at certain times, they will get those kinds of things. And many times the girls forget that they've written that down, and how did you know? And she just smiles, you know. And the ladies group, they have prayer partners or whatever it's called, and they'll try to learn some of the different things they like, and that's all a good thing. But how about if we do that with God? How about if, you know, a real beginning of revival in our lives would be on the altar tonight, just say, God, show me what pleases you. Help me to please you, God. Lead me into ways that I can please you, God. Let me show you some things just real quick out of the scripture that no question about it, these things please God because He says they please Him. Colossians 1 and verse 19 is our first one. Colossians 1, 19. Here's something that pleases God. And there's no doubt about it. It's right here in the scripture. And it's interesting. I talked about this in Sunday school today just a little bit. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 19, the Bible says, for it pleased the Father that in Him, talking about Jesus, should all fullness dwell. It pleased the Father. In other words, as I talked about in Sunday school class, that when you get to heaven, you're going to see Jesus. Now, we understand the Trinity, and there's only one God. It's not a three-headed God or anything like that. But when you get to heaven, you're going to see Jesus. Chapter 2 and verse 19, it says that in Him, I'm sorry, verse 9, chapter 2, 9 of Colossians, for in Him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so the first way to please the Father, obviously, is when we focus on the Son. When you focus on Jesus, it pleased the Father that in Him, in Jesus, should all the fullness dwell. It pleased the Father. He wants you and I to get our focus on Jesus Christ. He wants us to focus on His Son. He wants us to preach about Jesus. He wants us to teach about Jesus. He wants us to talk about Jesus. He wants us to lift up the Son. He wants to hear us talking about His Son. He wants us to focus on His Son. A lot of messages that I preach, I feel like when I'm done that I've said all that I could say about that certain topic. But it's never like that when it's about Jesus. It can't be like that when it's about Jesus. This morning in Sunday school, we're going through the book of Revelation, and We're in chapter 1, and there's a passage, verses 12 through 17, that describes Jesus, how John saw him, and how I believe we will see him. And I got on that subject and started talking about that subject, and the voice of a trumpet, and the description of Jesus Christ, and I went over 10 minutes. It is very, very, very rare that I go over in Sunday school class. But you just can't say enough about Jesus. Now, the thing is, we shouldn't try to stop. We need to say more. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. Let's talk about Jesus. The mighty God is He. You know, seriously, when you talk about Jesus, you can never say enough. It's not possible. And that pleases the Father. That pleases the Father. You talk about Jesus and the Father smiles. When you gossip, the Father's not pleased with that. When we're critical, the Father's not pleased. Why do we spend so much time gossiping? Why spend so much time being critical about other people? Why spend so much time talking about worldly things and all kinds of... Talk about Jesus. Talk about Jesus. You come to church. I mean, honestly, it's not a sin to talk about football, but I don't think God cares much about it. Hello? Now, again, it's not bad. It's not wrong. I mean, ladies, you know, you may talk shopping and stuff like that, and I don't think it's a bad thing to talk about. But the truth of the matter is, it's not what pleases the Father. How about if you had an old-fashioned revival of your tongue that said, I want to talk about Jesus more. I need to talk more about Jesus. And when Christians get together, certainly it seems like we'd talk a lot about Jesus. Amen. That's one of the things I like about, our men's prayer meeting that we have. And we praise the Lord and we spend much time talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Focus on Jesus. That pleases the Father. Number two, Hebrews 13 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. Not only should we focus on Jesus, but Hebrews 13, 16, it says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is," notice what it says, "well pleased." Faithful giving of ourselves. Faithful giving of ourselves. What is that? It says to do good and to communicate, forget not. Doing good. Giving of yourself. Being a blessing. It pleases God. Doing to others. Bible, do unto others. You would have others do unto you. Well, I wish somebody would give me $10. That means you should give somebody $10. Well, preacher, I mean, come on. I'm the one that has the need. How do you know they don't have a need? When's the last time you gave away the part that the part you needed and you gave away the whole part that would have added to your need to make the need met, but you gave it away by faith and then God gave you the whole part? There's nothing more fun in the world. You said, doesn't sound like fun to me. That's why you're such a grump. But the truth is, you know, what's the big deal? God, I just want to please you. If it makes you happy, it'll make me happy. If God says doing good pleases Him and giving of myself pleases Him and being a blessing to somebody else pleases Him, you know, all those offerings we've taken in the last few weeks, I mean, we had preacher boys come back from college. We had preacher boy preaching on the different nights, Wednesday night, Sunday night, Brother Raymond on Sunday morning. And we took up special love offerings. And you know, I know how it is. Oh, man, another love offering. I'm going broke. You know, but you know what? God in heaven is saying, woohoo, I like this. This is good. We met some needs, folks. I mean, it helped some of our boys that we love, and it helped them with their bills, and it was a blessing to somebody. And you know what? Bigger than that is God smiled over that. Amen. When you go to the nursing home on Christmas Day and have a service, when you give your time as maybe a young person on for the senior citizens luncheon that we have at Christmas time, when you go soul winning in the nursing homes, when you go soul winning and on the bus route, and just giving your time, giving to others, when you give money to somebody, when you help somebody who's down and out, it pleases God. When you write notes to people and you want to be a blessing, I've got some of the most precious notes in 2010. It's just amazing. Some of our children, you'd be amazed some of the things they write and the blessings it is to this preacher. And you write notes to folks, and you know somebody's going through a hard time, and you write them a little card, one of those little yellow papers. You just write a little note, I'm praying for you and I love you. And you know how exciting it is that we can be used like that. But again, you say, that person really likes it. Yeah, but God in heaven likes it too. Because he said that he did. It pleases him. It is well-pleasing to him. And when you give to somebody and you're a blessing to... Some of you folks with big savings account, honestly, you know, when you die, your wife and her new husband are going to spend it all. You might want to get rid of some of that now. I'm serious about that thing. You know, help people. Help folks out. And be a blessing. Look for needs. Look for people whose shoes are wearing out and buy them some. Look for... Amen! Look for folks whose maybe their clothes aren't what they ought to be, and or maybe what they could be, and be a blessing to some folks and help some folks out. Listen for needs. Listen. Listen when people are talking. Listen, you know, when somebody's going through a tough time. It's amazing how somebody maybe is talking to somebody else and you know, yeah, we're having a tough time with this and having a tough time with that. And it's very difficult. And you kind of walk away like, oh, they're going to try to get money out of me. Listen, you're robbing yourself of an opportunity to please your God. And he certainly has enough to take care of your needs. He certainly can take care of that. Do things to please God. Be a blessing. Do things. Serve and work and do things for other folks that'll please God. Faithful giving of yourself. Focusing on Jesus. Number three, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Here's something that pleases God. I love this. I really do. That's why the devil attacks it so much. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Watch what it says. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What was it? It was the foolishness of preaching. That's what it is. That's what it always has been. That's what it always will be. It's preaching. It's always preaching. It's what it's always been. That's how people get saved. It's through the foolishness of preaching. But there's very little preaching today. I mean, honestly, church after church after church is selling out. And they're giving in to the garbage of the world. And many have changed their service into a concert. Changed their service into a time of rapping with the Rev. Instead of just good old-fashioned preaching. Somebody said, Brother Larry, somebody's asking, how's your prison ministry so successful? I'm sure you have some form of entertainment or something like that. I said, no, our folks go in there and preach. Preach to prisoners? How do you keep their attention? Bless God, you tell them, sit up and listen to me! They do, too, in the prison. Brother Johns has been threatened many times, not necessarily for his preaching, but... You say, well, you can't do that nowadays. It always works. God says it pleases Him when we preach. And you say, well, but He says Himself that it's foolishness, because it never has made sense to me. That you get up and yell and scream and holler and snort and stomp and preach and yell and all of that, and folks tenderly get right with God. But that's what God said He uses. Jesus preached. You don't suppose when He was talking to 15, 20,000 people on a hill, you don't suppose without an amplifier, you don't suppose He just whispered, do you? Yeah, you're right. He didn't whisper. He yelled. He preached. I mean, He had to preach. He wanted the people to hear Him. By the way, if you have something to say, you want people to hear it. Amen. Amen. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, your preaching is somewhat of a distraction when the Holy Spirit's working. I said, what do you mean? I said, I'm just preaching the Bible. He said, well, you're kind of loud. I said, what keeps you awake? I mean, honestly, the foolishness of preaching, that's why we're going to keep preaching, folks. That's why you just keep preaching, keep preaching, keep preaching, keep preaching. Somebody says, well, I'm not a hollerer. Yeah, but you get the burning fire in your heart of the message. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to yell. You just have to be intense and say, hey, look, this is important. There isn't anything more important. I don't care what. That's why we don't cancel for the Super Bowl. That's why we don't cancel for holidays. That's why. Why? Because preaching, that's the most important thing. Nothing more important going on. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, God's pleased with it too. And that's why God blesses. That's why people get saved under preaching. I don't know how many people over the years have said, and it's happened right here in Adrian too. They said, you know, if I had a lost loved one. Now, I go to another church. And they're always quick to say, you know, I go to maybe some kind of Burger King kind of a church or something like that, a have it your way kind of thing. But they say, you know, I go to another church. But if I have a relative that is lost, and I know they're not saved, and I know they're not going to get saved, you know, they're about to die or something like that, and I know that they've got to hear the gospel, I'm bringing them to your church. I'm going to bring them into your service. I'm going to bring them to your team meeting. I'm going to bring them to your Sunday schools. I'm going to bring them to your junior church. I'll bring them into your service because I know they're going to hear preaching. God says it pleases Him, the foolishness of preaching. Here's another thing that pleases Him, Isaiah 53, verse 10. Isaiah 53 and verse 10. The Bible says this, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him." Talking about Jesus, "He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed, He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand." Now watch it, verse 11. "He shall see of the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out His soul unto death, and He was numbered with the transgressors, and He bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." And here's what I wrote down, because I think that's what it's about here. Forgiveness pleases God. Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. And it pleases God. The only way there could be remission of sin, forgiveness, the blood. That was the only way. He sacrificed Himself so we could be forgiven. Forgiveness pleases God. I'll tell you what, change your life in 2011 if you'd forgive. Forgive! Everybody in the room's been done wrong one time or another. Many, several times. Forgive. Forgive, amen? You say, well, you know, I just can't let go of it. Well, what a shame. Because it would please God if you did. If it pleases the Father to bruise His Son so we can be forgiven, seems to me like we would understand it would please Him if we forgave one another. Amen. Ephesians 4, verse 32, you know it. "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." Oh, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It pleased the Lord to bruise His Son. For Christ's sake, He's forgiven me. Then He says, now you forgive one another. Just like, for Christ's sake, I've forgiven you. You say, I can't forgive you because of what you did. You could for Christ's sake, couldn't you? You could if it pleases the Father. Some folks, honestly, you could have revival tonight on your knees right here at the altar just saying, God, help me to forgive. It'll please You. God, help me forgive people who've wronged me. Or help me to forgive people that I think have wronged me. Forgiveness, it pleases the Father. Number five, Hebrews 11 and verse 5. And I simply have written down for number five, fellowship pleases Him. Fellowship, first fellowship is with Him. Hebrews 11, verse 5. Hebrews 11, 5. "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Fellowship with Him. What's the Bible say in Genesis about Enoch? Said he walked with God. He walked with God. Fellowship. Fellowship pleases God. God wants time with you. God wants prayer time with you. God wants you to walk with Him. God wants you to talk to Him about everything going on. You say, well, I think I'll leave God alone. Don't leave God alone. Please God. Talk to Him. Fellowship with Him. Walk with Him. Amen. I mean, it pleases Him when you take time and you spend time with Him. He loves it. Absolutely loves it. God will never say, I got too much to do. God will never say, listen, I'm busy. God will never say, hey, your problems don't matter to me. God's always there. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, God's always there. Doesn't matter what time. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Everybody else has been bugging God an awful lot lately. I guess I better leave Him alone. No. Listen to me. You've got His ear anytime. My Bible says He inclines Himself to you. He leans in. He wants your need, your problem. And guess what? When you bring it to Him, it pleases Him. It actually pleases Him because He loves fellowship. Fellowship with Him and also fellowship with each other. He said we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. Hey, you've been watching? The day's approaching. Amen. And things get tougher and tougher. We need to fellowship with one another. And it pleases God. It pleases God when we get along with each other. I'm going to preach about this probably in a couple of weeks. Psalm 133, verses 1 to 3. And it talks about the ointment on the head of the priest. And God says, oh, God says, I love that. And He compares it to unity. Yeah, when God's people get along with each other. And God said, "There's a, you know, what greater testimony? They'll know we're Christians by our love one toward another. It's not by our love toward Him, it's our love one toward another. That the world looks and they say, we know. That's why folks where you work, they're not interested in Christianity because they hear you cut down people at the church all the time. Yeah, that's why your relatives aren't interested in you. You say, well, come visit our church sometime. But in the back of their mind, they're remembering when you ripped that deacon up all over the place over something. You know, they're remembering when you talked bad about the youth director. They remember when you talked bad about the pastor. And they say, why would I want to be a part of that? They'll know we're Christians by our love one toward another. How do you get along with Christians? I'll tell you this. On the altar tonight, you can say, God, help me to get along. Get along with each other, with other Christians. And because I want to please you, God. I want to please you. You say, well, I love God's people. You need to let your face know it. And your handshake. And why don't you guys come over? Or let's go do something or fellowship with one another. And I'm good Christian fellowship. Huh? You say, well, I struggle with liking some people, but you don't have to like people. We're told to love one another. And loving people is not the same as liking people. Loving people is giving yourself to them. Amen. That doesn't mean you have to enjoy being around them. Some people may drive you nuts. We all think we're the only ones that are like us. We are. And that's why to you I'm weird and to me you're weird. That's okay. You know, we got to get along with each other. We have to get along. We have to fellowship with each other. Fellowship pleases God. Here's another thing, Colossians 1:10. I'm getting real close to the end. If you look intelligent, it'll go a lot faster. The problem is all the folks up here in the front. Colossians 1:10, it says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all, pleasing. How is that? Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Fruitfulness pleases God. Sure it does. Sure it does. Now we enjoy souls getting saved, but God enjoys it more. We enjoyed hearing about what happened at the prison today, but God enjoys it more. We enjoy baptisms, but God enjoys it more. The Bible says the angels rejoice. They rejoice. Can you imagine that? Over one sinner that repenteth. But the Father, He enjoys it. It pleases Him. Fruitfulness pleases Him. You know why? Because we were made to bear fruit. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And He wants us to bear fruit. How's your tree producing? How's it going for you? Huh? Do you please God? You know, if nothing else, in 2011, God, help me to bear fruit for you. Help me to bear fruit. Help me to see people saved. Help me to win people to Christ. See, we miss so many opportunities to please God. You ought to have a pocket full of tracks or a purse full of tracks. Well, maybe not your whole purse. I've seen some of these ladies' purses are like that. I mean, it'd wipe out all our tracks. You ought to have tracks. You ought to be ready to tell folks about Jesus. You ought to be ready and get some fruit to your account. Fruitfulness pleases God. It's like you when you plant a tree. I mean, or you plant anything. I mean, I used to be, some guys have a green thumb. Mine was a black thumb. I mean, it just was death always. Everything I planted died. And you know what I'm talking about? But we like it when we plant something and it actually grows. Wow, look at that. You know, you plant a flower, it actually bloomed. I mean, that's amazing. You plant a fruit-producing tree of some kind, and it actually has fruit on it. That's exciting. Remember our grapevine back in Birch Run? And I was always so excited. We'd go out there, and this one guy, you got to prune that thing back. I'd go prune the thing back, and I'd think, it's dead. It's over. And sure enough, man, that thing took off. Grapes everywhere. We made wine. I mean, grape juice. And I'm just, you know... But the thing is, we love it, and we look at our thing that we planted, and we say, "Wow, look at that!" Don't you think God should be able to look at us and say, "Look at that guy producing fruit. Look at that Christian. Look what they're doing. Look what they've done with their life. There's a lot of fruit." Because you know what it does? It gives Him the glory, and it pleases Him. And then what else pleases Him? Faith pleases Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Are you thinking about something maybe you could do to please God? It says in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Absolutely impossible. And so, faith. And, you know, honestly, all the opportunities we have to exercise our faith. You say, I don't ever have anything. I never have any. Last trouble I had, I just walked around it. You know, I just turned back. Yeah, see, you're missing the opportunity. You know, Peter walked on water when the waves were raging instead of waiting until the storm ceased and he had a floaty to sit on. Okay, he went on the water. Why? Because Jesus said, come to me, and he said there's only one way to do it, and he didn't have a bark to get in, amen? And so he walked on the water. And we're constantly saying, well, that's not possible. You can't walk on water. See, I can't has never accomplished a thing. Or as my mom used to say, can't never did nothing. It never did either. And okay, God, by faith. See, you say, oh, give me a way, preacher. Okay, how about with your wallet sometime? How about with your wallet? You know, you by faith, I'm going to give this by faith because I trust you and I know you're going to take care of me. How about your wallet? How about your time? How about trust Him with a problem? Trust Him with something where you have to step out by faith. I'm just saying, it pleases Him. If there are no trials, problems, there's no need for faith. Quit running from them. Quit avoiding them. Step out, do something for God, and trust Him by faith. It pleases Him. What else pleases Him? Psalm 69, verse 30. Two more and we're done. Psalm 69 and verse 30. Here's another thing that pleases Him. Psalm 69 and verse 30. Says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. Some of you don't ever even obey that during a service. You don't sing. I don't get it. You say, I can't hit the notes right. Fake it. Smile. I remember I had my tonsils out. I sang in the choir. And I had my tonsils taken out, and somebody said, you're not going to sing in the choir, are you? I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to go up there. They said, we can't hear you. I said, I don't care. I'm going to look like I'm singing. I took the songbook, and I went up there, and I mouthed all the words and smiled. You say, I bet that was really silly. I'll tell you what, he didn't think so. Because in my heart was a song, and I got out everything I could, and sometimes it was a... and sometimes it was a and sometimes it was a e, and it didn't come out real well. But I'll tell you what, he knew what was in my heart. You need to just sing. You need to, hey, some of you need to sing like you sing in the shower. Well, not like you sing in the shower, but the way that you sing, you need to sing that way when you come to church. You say, but people will be offended. No, they won't. They'll be excited. Do you know our little orchestra up here? There were a couple of squeaks and a couple of little weird sounds that came out of that orchestra, but I believe with all my heart God was pleased with that. And I believe God's pleased when Brother Shawver sings, even though it didn't really, all the notes aren't the way they should be. In fact, I don't know if he knows what a note is, but it doesn't really matter. He sings. And he tries. Now, we don't have him come up here and lead singing. I had a preacher friend one time. He didn't have a song leader, and he had to lead singing. And he said, Brother Rogers, he said, what do I do? And so I said, well, let me hear you. And so he led a song one time, and it was terrible. Absolutely pitiful. It was the worst thing I ever heard in my life. But I bet God was pleased with it. You say, what'd you do? I said, I told him, hide the microphone, put it away, get it away from you, step back several feet, 20 if you can, and just sing. Amen. We need to sing. But anyway, none of that's in the notes. I'll praise the Lord. I'll praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. Watch this. Better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. What's that? To sing. What's better than an offering? What's better than a sacrifice? What is it? It's to sing. I'll praise the name of God with a song. Frequent praise pleases God. You say, well, God knows I love Him. No, He doesn't, because you don't tell Him. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, when the preacher preaches, that's all right to God. But when somebody sits out there, praise the Lord. He likes that. You know, so somebody gets up and sings, and that's good, you know, and that's wonderful. But some little elderly lady just kind of whispers, oh, praise the Lord. You know, He loves that. He loves that. Why don't we get that? I mean, when the choir sings and it's beautiful and everything, but somebody in the crowd that maybe doesn't say a whole lot otherwise says, well, glory to God. And God says, I like that. He does like that. He really does. Sunday school teacher waxes eloquent. That's nice. But a little child afterwards says, isn't God great? And God says, wow, I like that. You know, because frequent praise. When's the last time you praised God? I'm talking about you just praise God. I've told you about the assistant pastor that meant so much to me years ago when my wife and I first got saved. Well, when we first got married, we'd been saved for about a year, I had, and we were new Christians, really, and we got in that church, and we were hippies, but people were very patient with us and loved us and were kind to us and everything. And this one assistant pastor, I'll never forget, he just always was praising the Lord about everything. Well, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. And he just kept saying praise the Lord all the time. And one time he was doing some work at our house, and I remember he was nailing some things, and he hit his thumb. And I thought, here it comes. And honestly, I he hit his thumb bad. It was really bad. He's bang, 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 thunk. You carpenters, you know what I'm talking about, right? Bang, 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 thunk. And he's turning red. Oh, praise God! You know? I'll tell you what. You know, I praised God. And when I was in Bible college, I remember Dad calling, and he never heard a negative thing, and there were plenty of negative things. There were plenty of things I didn't understand. There were plenty of bills that I was really concerned about. There were a lot of things that my dad never heard anything. All he ever heard was, well, praise the Lord. I'll never forget the first time before my dad got saved. I'll never forget the first time I was telling him about something and he said, well, praise the Lord. I never said anything. I never said, Dad, do you know what you just said? Because he didn't know what he just said. I mean, but you know, frequent praise, and God loves it. He loves it. You know, some of you teenagers, you can't sing. You just can't. You know, I'm too cool. I'm too cool. You listen to me. You need to praise God.
Amen.
You need to learn to sing to God and sing the songs to God. I know the problem is because all the other junk you listen to most of the time, it's anti-God. Or it's touchy-feely kind of stuff that I feel good. And, you know, and it's stuff that has absolutely no meaning at all. And we sing about the blood, and you say, I can't identify with that. And that's what it's really all about. Amen. Amen. And you can't praise God because you can't sing, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. You can't sing, when I survey the wondrous cross. Because you don't think about the cross. You're not thinking about what Jesus, you're not thinking of him hanging up there. You're not thinking about his body ripped to shreds for your sin. I'll tell you, you start thinking about that, you just kind of stop and you praise him. Thank you, God, for what you've done. I'm not talking about, well, we're just going to praise God. You know, like all the charismatic people do and swing from the lights for a little while and just feel good and run around a while and then go live like the devil. I'm talking about getting alone with God, or I'm talking about singing a song to God. God, you're so wonderful. You're so great. You saved my soul, and I'd be in hell without you, God.
Amen.
And thank you, God. Last thing, number 9. I should have got another one, so there'd be exactly 10. But this is the last one. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. There's actually many in the Scripture, but I got to quit. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. (Clears throat) 2 Timothy 2:4. The Bible says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And the last thing is, forget the world. Forget the world. Because it says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." We need to get untangled from the affairs of this life. We need to get ourselves untangled. It'll please him, I guarantee you. Get your focus on the things of heaven. Get your mind on the things of God's. And doing the things that he may, what's it say? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You get involved with the affairs of this life, you're not a very good soldier. You even get kind of mixed up on who the enemy is. Yeah, I know. Isn't that something? I mean, you know, right? Right? I mean, we do. We sometimes struggle with that. We forget the devil hates us. Some of you folks that listen to the devil's music all the time, you've forgotten that he hates you. And he hates God. He's not on our side. He's our enemy. Huh? It's kind of like the Japanese. I don't know this for, you know, all the different details on this, but Tokyo Rose was doing everything she could to our men that were fighting in the Pacific theater, I guess they would call that. And they would have, the Japanese would have Tokyo Rose come on and play these beautiful songs and everything else and try to get them somehow to appreciate the Japanese and to miss home and all those kind of things. What a deceptive little thing. Well, the devil's, I feel good when I'm listening to that music. Now you feel carnal. Is how you feel. Yeah, I feel like dancing. You feel carnal. Anyway, forget the world. That'll please God. You know, all those times, all the decisions over the years where I've had to get rid of this, get rid of that, do this, do that. One thing I know it pleased God. I remember the big old box of things we put out down in Pensacola. I don't know why we moved them there. That was stupid. But it's probably my idea, right? But I remember that big box. It was about like that, about that deep. I'm talking about music. I'm talking about clothes. I'm talking about all kinds of stuff that we didn't need to really take down there. And anyway, I remember setting it out there and putting it out on the curb for the garbage man to take. And we're talking hundreds of dollars worth of stuff. And but I remember thinking, you know, I think this pleases God. It did. And it pleased God if you get rid of some of your stuff too and forget it. And forget it. Why? Because then you can be a good soldier for the Lord. Amen. Focus on Jesus. Faithfully give of yourself. Fellowship. Fellowship with Him. Fellowship with Christians. Fruitfulness pleases Him. Forgiveness pleases Him. The foolishness of preaching pleases Him. Frequent praise pleases Him. Forgetting the world pleases Him. What could you find tonight that you could do to please the Lord? I mean, preacher, I do right. I come to church. I tithe. I do, and that's wonderful and that's great. But why not go out of your way? Why not just look for ways to please the Lord? Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking. No one's talking. I wonder how.